Okay, folks, glad to have all you saints here this evening for the Koine Greek class. I don't know what number it is. It really doesn't matter. We've been going at this for about a year and a half now, which is great. Things that we are learning and that we should be reviewing are awesome. And I'd like to start this out with a word of prayer to the Most High, our dear Heavenly Father, through your Son, our Savior, the Lamb of God, the Son of God, the Creator of all things in our head, and many other names. We pray to you, dear Heavenly Father. We know that certainly you love us beyond our imaginations through your Son. We pray that you might help us in our infirmities, for you know that we flesh, but also though we have the indwelling Holy Spirit, that is, in fact, the Holy Spirit that dwells in us, that helps us understand your precious word that has stood the test of all the attacks on it by mankind and by your foe, the evil one, and we have it complete today. And we just pray that we might be honored, that you might have joy in us all here tonight, and that you might look down and empower us through resurrection power, that we might walk in that strength in these last days, come boiling up to the tribulation period. We know that it's, as far as relative time, it's around the corner. We know that the world, as it is moving more far away from you, and even acknowledging that there is a Creator. And we pray and we thank you that we're not people like that, I suppose. No matter how we might think we should have more of this and more of that and why this is happening to us and why that's happening to us, your word says that we can trust in you in all things and that we shouldn't be anxious or spinning or sweating over anything. That's hard for us to do. It's hard for us to trust in you 110%. But we pray that you would have us do so. We know that you don't have to prove yourself. You've proven that to us. You've proven yourself to us in many ways, individually, I'm sure, than we can speak forth tonight. And we thank you for that. And we pray for your blessing upon our endeavoring into your original language of the Koine Greek. We know it's awesome when we know that if we understand the Koine Greek in a solid sense, we know that this would bring us more to a demanding of your precious and eternal word, the Word of God, which you hold above your very name. And this we ask, and through our prayer and our supplications, we pray and ask in the name of Christ our head. Amen. All right, folks. Can you still hear me? Amen. All right, here we are. And here we are, chosen saints of the Most High, which we are, adopted sons of God. That we wouldn't, in fact, know at all what those words mean whatsoever if the Lord didn't reach down and choose us out before the overthrow of the world. Very possibly we were in his mind before he created anything or anybody. I believe that to be true. And, you know, our God is an awesome God. All we have to do is look at creation and think about creating any of it, and we would immediately, in a millisecond, fall short of any of that, let alone spiritual principalities and powers that are more mighty than any man can imagine. So I think we're in good hands with the Lord. What we're going to do tonight is we're going to do a lot of flipping around in your text. We're going to do some review. We're going to look at some, we're going to translate some sentences at the end of, we're going to translate some sentences at the end of lesson number 5. I'd like to have you turn to page number 40. Turn to page number 40. And I'm going to emphasize this fact again. All right, is everybody there? Is everybody at page 40 in your text? And just give me a Y or a 40. Okay, 40, great. Thing of it is if you look at number 42, it says exercises, and you go just down to the end of that short paragraph, it says, when you have mastered lessons number 3, 4, and 5, you will have made great progress towards your goal of reading New Testament in the Koine Greek. And I just want to say that the more I review lessons, let's say 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, the more I know this to be true. And so we're going to do some review tonight. We're going to translate a few of these sentences in the exercises on page 40 and 41. The last time we translated sentences 1, 2, 3, and 4. And what I'm going to do is tonight we're going to translate, amongst other things, we're going to translate sentences 5, 6, 7, and 8. And the reason that we don't go through all of them is because I'm going to take you step by step, or we're going to go step by step, step through every form, every definite article, and you're going to know where it comes from on every page that it comes from. And, you know, the reason I do this is that to prove to you that, in fact, we can learn from what we should be reviewing. And let me also say this, that it's very important that we write down, especially verb forms, their meaning, second declension noun forms and their meaning, first declension noun forms and their meaning, and their endings. And their good evening, Barney. And their endings, because as you write these down, you're going to get familiar with them. And you're gonna after a while you're gonna say, oh, that's a noun of the second declension, which are now most popular nouns of the New Testament. And then you might notice a noun of the first declension. You'll automatically start noticing this. You should you'll eventually notice differences in the Koine between verbs and nouns. You'll eventually notice the cases, the nominative case, the genitive case, and the accusative case. The nominative case and those cases we'll review again tonight, what they mean. Eventually, as you see these endings on forms, you're going to start, you know, recognizing them. I guarantee it. If you put the time in, you're going to start recognizing, and they will bring a particular joy to you. And as we go on now, you'll notice that in these translations that tonight in sentences 5, 6, 7, and 8, they're scripturally orientated. So that's just a 300% plus in the fact that we're not translating common Greek. We're translating Koine Greek, and we're translating it in associated scripture. So we don't have to bother ourselves with, if you go over to Rome, or wait a minute, if you go over to Crete, and you don't have to bother yourself with, boy, am I going to know how to say hi, I'm an American in 2012, well, or 11, you won't have to worry about that. We're concentrating on God's Word, and that's everything we learn is going to be zeroed in on the Word of God, and that's really, really awesome, let me tell you. So let's do some review without further ado. I have some pages that we should review, and the reason why this is to hammer this into your head, to hammer this into our hearts and minds so that it's second nature. And as the author has said, if we have pretty good command of five lessons, we're going to be, you know, if all of a sudden you can notice, if you can delineate the difference between a verb form and a noun form, if you can understand the endings of the genitive and the first declension noun forms or the accusative, you're going to all of a sudden start being able to understand at least parts of translations that you can pick out of a Koine Greek sentence, and then it just builds on from there. Believe me. So. Those are the facts. You know, you got to do the time. If you do the crime, you got to do the time. Well, if you want to be sublime, you got to do the time. All right. If you want to be sublime in the Koine, you're going to have to do the time. Hey, that was pretty good, right? Yeah, thanks. Thanks a lot. Okay, let's turn back to page 2 of the text. We're going to review the alphabet. Very important. We're going to pronounce it correctly, all right? So as I pronounce it, you pronounce it. Please, they're sitting by your technological wonder wires there. All right, page 3. Alpha. It's not alpha. It's alpha. Beta. It's not beta. It's beta. Alpha, beta. Gamma. It's not gamma. It's gamma. Delta. Epsilon. And maybe, actually, in the truest form, that could be epsilon, because it has an iota in it. So we could pronounce it epsilon. Epsilon. Zeta. It's not zeta. It's zeta. Theta. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. Zeta. Eta. That is eta. It's not eta. It's eta. So it's zeta, eta, theta. It's not theta. It's theta. Iota. It's not iota. It's iota. Kappa. It's not kappa. It's kappa. Lambda. It's not lambda. It's lambda. Mu. Nu. Z, like wax, Z, wax, Z. Omicron, it's not Omicron, it's Omicron. P, it's not pi, it's P. Bo. Sigma. Tau. Upsilon. Phi. Chi. Psi. Omega. So let's go over it again. And you say it too. Alpha. Beta. Gamma, Delta, Epsilon, Zeta, Eta, Theta, Iota, Kappa, Lambda, Mu, Nu, Xi, Omicron, P, Rho, Sigma, Tau, Upsilon, Phi, Chi, Psi, Omega. And be very technically precise. And I'd have to say this in writing the Koine Greek. All of you are probably having an interesting time Koine Greek. Well, my suggestion is that when you write the Koine Greek forms, that you do it neatly and precisely. Are you going to do it exactly like the text? Maybe not. But each one of your letters should be at the same height. Every time a letter goes before the line, that tag below the line should be the same length as other tags that go below the line. When you have a Koine letter that's twice as high, it should be twice as high. And the other Koine letter should be in the middle of that letter. So it should be very precise. And I've seen a lot of texts, even original Koine Greek texts, I mean actual, like Stephen's texts. I have an actual Stephen's text from 1550, an original. And you look at this and you wonder, boy, this guy should have taken a penmanship class, you know, because his Koine penmanship, in my opinion, could have been a lot better, and therefore it could have been easier to read. So I would say be very precise with your letters as to the height and to the conformity of them as far as size is concerned. Really, after a while, you're going to like yourself because you're going to be taking the time to be precise. Apparently, engineers are supposed to be precise. We won't comment any more on that, but, and barbers are, teachers, hey, all of us are supposed to be precise anyway, so, all right, let's look at page 4. Yeah, you're laughing because you know I'm right. Let's look at page 4, diphthongs, very important, Let's look at them, go over them. Alpha, iota, pronounced I as an ion. Epsilon iota, pronounced A, as an 8 or a rain 8. Now, a lot of times you're going to confuse, or at least I do, you're going to confuse the pronunciation of alpha iota and epsilon iota. A lot of times what I'll do is I'll pronounce alpha iota as A, but it's not A, it's I. And epsilon iota is the A, as in A rain A. And alpha iota is I, as an ion, all right? And you'll get slipped up between the two, maybe. Omicron iota, oi, as an oikos, very important Greek form. Upsilon iota, as in huios, extremely. That means son, sonship, adoption. We are adopted sons. And the fact is that adopted sons, what can we understand about the eternal God sitting here right now? Just a pinpoint, a smidge. But he tells us he can't lie. And he tells us that we are adopted sons and we have the right of a fully born son. And, you know, that's almost blasphemous, but it's a fact. And we have the rights of a naturally born eternal son. And, you know, how much I can't describe what that is because I don't know. But I know it's true. Either that or the word of God is a lie and God is a liar. I mean, not being brash or compulsive militant or anything, but those are the facts, you know. And the facts are is that we're adopted sons of God. That is extremely important for us to revel in our lives. All right, going back to page 4, alpha upsilon, pronounced au as in autos. Epsilon upsilon, pronounced u as in ulogetas, that means praise or blessed be to the Father. Omicron upsilon is an u, as in uranos, which is a very, meaning heaven, which is a very Greek form of the scriptures. So, just in understanding those diphthongs, we can look at the forms meaning age, peace, house, sonship, self, blessed or praise be in heaven. So that's very good. Let's turn to page 14. And again, tonight we're going to be skipping around between the text, but these things as we go are important to us to keep locked up in our brains and our hearts. As we go on, we're going to be looking at different tenses. So far, we looked at the present and future tense, and we have a number of them to go. That's why I keep on hammering page 14, because even in the English, we might not understand these tenses. You should become very familiar with these tenses, because as we study on in subsequent lessons, we're going to be getting into the imperfect tense and the aorist tense, so we should understand what they mean. At page 14, looking at the tenses for I love. In the present tense, I love, well, we know that, I love. You know, it's present, I love. Future tense, I will love. We understand that. I will love. I'm going to be loving in the future. Okay, we can understand that. In the imperfect tense, that may be something foreign to us. The imperfect tense means I was loving. I was loving. That almost sounds like the past tense. It's called the imperfect tense. Aorist tense, I loved, I loved. The aorist tense is it's like an action that was done and it continues for eternity. The aorist tense is very important to people who belong to the body of the fullness of Christ, because there are a lot of aorist tense verbs and a lot of aorist tense forms in our calling. Very important to understand what that is. The perfect tense, I have loved. Now that's a little bit different than I was loving, which is the imperfect tense. I have loved is the perfect tense. I had loved, that's the pluperfect tense. I have loved, perfect. I had loved, that's interesting. pretty fine line there, but it does have very concise, important difference to meaning there. And then the future perfect, I will have loved. You could say, well, that sounds a little bit complicated. Yeah, the fact of the matter, though, is that it's real, it's true, and it is there. So it's up to us to step up to the plate and to be adults and to learn it. And not to reel back and not to cringe and go, oh, this is too hard for me. Well, no, we stop and say, no, this isn't too hard for me. Perfect tense, I love. Future tense, I will love. Imperfect tense, I was loving. Aorist tense, I loved. Perfect tense, I have loved. Pluperfect tense, I had loved. Future perfect tense, I will have loved. And you must get a base meaning of these tenses in your mind, because we're going to start learning of these in the Koine, and if we don't understand what they mean in the English in our minds, we're going to become even that more confused when we learn them in the Koine. All right, that's the point of why I'm hammering page 14. So what you could maybe do is write that down. Present, future, imperfect, aorist, perfect, pluperfect, future perfect, and write down these examples of love so you can get that in your mind. And you can say, oh yeah, the future perfect tense of I love is I will have love. Just bang, like that. Bang, 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 automatic. Okay? Now, have I done that perfectly? No. But I'm not supposed to admit that to you. Okay? That's it. That's the only thing I will admit from here on. Okay, so... Did I write that? No. I have begun workbooks, by the way, and it's really important to write verb forms down, second declension nouns down and their meaning, first declension nouns down, because after lesson 5, we're going to get into adjectives, all right? We've already covered verbs, we've covered two declensions of nouns. We've seen omega and epsilon iota conjugated verbs, and we looked at a, me, I am, and I hope I'm right about that. I am the verb form of the Koine verb form of I am, a, me. That's very important. I am. That's on page 22, and then. We're going to be moving into adjectives. Also, too, we've looked at the definite article. So we should really know. We should really know the definite article, some verb forms, some noun forms, and Amy, I am. And we should know those almost cold after a while. That's why lessons 1 through 5 are very important. Let's look at page 23. And what we're going to do is these are omega verb forms. Remember, there's two forms of verbs. Yeah, conjugations, according to page 17. Let's turn back to that real quick. Sorry. You're going to do a lot of flipping around, so don't sit there and cry. Just do it. And look on page 17. We have the mu iota. I'm sorry, I call it the epsilon iota. It's the mu iota conjugation and the omega conjugation of verbs. And the main verb conjugation in the Koine Greek is the omega conjugation. So you're going to have a lot of verbs of this conjugation. But the mu iota conjugation is important because it contains I am or ami in it. And ami is used at least 2,500 times in the New Testament. So to get a me down for I am is very important. You can bang, bang, you can notice 2,500 occurrences of it or thereabouts in the Greek New Testament. Very important to understand. Let's turn to page 23. And we're going to be looking at some omega verbs. And what I want you to do is we have Here we have two tenses, the present and the future. What I'm going to go over tonight is just the present tense, just the present tense verb. Those are, if you drew a line, you know, between these two tenses, the present and the future we know was formed with sigma. That's one of the lessons. But we're just going to concentrate, if I can speak here, on omega verbs, just and write these down. I have done this. Ooh, well, hallelujah. What's that must make me really cool, you're thinking, right? No. What I have done is I've got my notebooks, yes, and I write these down. And what these do is as you write them down in your precise penmanship, you get familiar with them. So let's do that. We're only going to be doing the verbs on the left side of the first column. First one is ago, and it means I lead. Ago. Next one is akuo. Notice the accent. Akuo. It means I hear. Ago, I lead. Akuo, I hear. Baptizo. Baptizo. It means I baptize. Next one, blepo. These are very important. You're going to see these verbs. I can tell you that's for sure. Blepo, I see. Grapho. I write. I hope everybody following me? We're just going down the left side. We're not going into the future tense. We're just staying with the present tense, okay? And what you could do is I looked at it like this. We can form the future tense, so let's concentrate on the present tense just to get going. Like if you write down in your notebook, you won't have to bother with the future tense. You just write down these present tense verbs, get used to them, identifying them and what they mean. Let's go on. Didasco, I teach. Doxazo, I glorify. Hetoimazo, I prepare. Theroptuo, I heal. Keruso, I preach. Luo, I loose. Oh, did I forget? I think I forgot exo. I have, sorry. So it goes, doxazo, I glorify. Hetoimazo, and notice that these breathing marks, like over hetoimazo, it's rough breathing. But over the next one, it's not. But over hepso, the future tense, it is. All right, so you're going to have to, if you can't see those breathing marks, get out your magnifying glass, I did, and look at them. Oh, what do you mean, I'm a blind dentist? Well, yeah, I can't comment on that. But what you have to notice is the breathing marks. Sometimes they're short breathing marks, and sometimes they're long. So going back to hetoimazo, it's rough. But over echo, it's not. All right, moving on. Theroptuo, I heal. Keruso, I preach. Luo, I loose. Patho, I trust in. Pempo, I send. Pistuo, leave. Sozo, I save. Very important Koine Greek forms, wouldn't you say? Yes. I lead, I hear, I baptize, I see, I write, I teach, I glorify, I prepare, I have, I heal, I preach, I loose, I trust in, I send, I believe, I save. All very important Koine Greek forms for us to get familiar with. No doubt about it. Write them down with your excellent penmanship that you have. Don't be crying about it. If you make a mistake, write it again. All right, now we have the very important new iota verb conjugation of ami, I am, very important. And then we have a couple of adverbs, u, which mean not, or not. One is with non-indicative moods, and the other, u, is with indicative, with the indicative mood, very important, or negatives, very important. You'll see those a lot, by the way. So page number 23, as far as the verbs are concerned, write those down, get familiar with them, put them in your notebook, because what you can do is you can make a notebook of vocabulary. Yes, I have. Hallelujah. And I'm putting verbs in there. I'm putting nouns in there. And I think it's very important. Turn to page 27. Page 27. The meaning of cases. We have to understand the cases. The nominative, the genitive, the dative, and the accusative. We have to understand form endings. When you see verbs or nouns, they have endings to them, which will direct you to what case they are. Okay? That will direct you to what the subject of the sentence is, what the object, the direct object of the sentence is. If it's in the genitive case, that's very important, because it's a case of possession. For saints of God, that's the genitive case. So let's look at that. The nominative case, it represents the subject of the sentence. Men see apostles. Men are the nominative, in the nominative. The genitive case means the possessor. The wisdom of men, or the wisdom of God. It's the wisdom of God, or the wisdom of men. It belongs to them. It's in the genitive. That's what the genitive means. The dative case represents the indirect object in the Koine Greek sentence. He gave gifts to men. To men. That's the indirect object of that sentence. The accusative represents the object or the direct object of the sentence. Apostles see men. Apostles is the subject. Men are the direct object. So in knowing the cases and their endings, automatically we can understand the subject of the sentence, the possessor of something of the sentence, the indirect object, and the direct object of the Koine Greek sentence. That's heavy duty. That after you start noticing that in the Koine, without any English help, you're going to start cheering for joy, believe me. Either I'm an idiot or not. You could, might, don't comment on that. But I have joy when I look at the Koine without any English, and I can understand some forms and some definite articles, and I can understand some case endings, and you know, that makes me feel like I know something, like I'm cool or something. Okay, so I pass that on to you. You know, want to be sublime? You got to do the time. Hey, that's pretty good. I know you guys like that a lot. You probably thinking, man, I wish I thought of that, right? You're the Greek. Yeah, I bet you. You're sitting at home right now, wherever you are, going, man, he's really something else, yeah, whether that's positive or negative. Okay, now turn to, let's see, were we on page 27? Yeah, we got, thank you. We got done with page 27. Turn to page 31. Or wait, yeah, 31. Now, page 31 has to do with nouns of the second declension. Nouns of the second declension are the most popular nouns in the Koine Greek. And you should write these nouns down. They're with the definite article. You should write them down, get familiar with them, and understand that they are nouns of the second declension. And let's look at them. So you write these down. Some are masculine, and then if you turn the page, some are neuter and a couple are feminine. And then we have some additional omega conjugated verbs, and then some conjunction. Conjunctions are Koine Greek forms that attach phrases to one another. So that's very important. You should get down pages 31 and 32, and write them down in your notebooks and get familiar with them. You know, I'm going to get done with just the nouns, and it's going to be, you know, we're going to almost be running here for 40, 50 minutes, but we'll get to some translations, at least a couple anyway. Okay, let's look at, but I thought this is really, really important because I'm going to be writing these down. I'm going to be expecting you to have notebooks. As far as diphthongs are concerned, that's the endings, the endings that we've learned in those break boxes. And I'm going to be expecting you to have vocabulary notebooks. And the reason why this is you'll get familiar. You'll get familiar with writing in the Koine. You'll get familiar with the accents. You'll get familiar with the breathing marks. You'll get familiar with the actual Koine Greek forms and what they mean. Page 31, Angelos. Ha, Angelos, the angel. Ha, Agros, the field. Ha, Adelphos, brother. Ha, Hamartolas. Hamartolas, the sinner. Ha, Anthropos, the man. Ha, Apostolos, the apostle. Ha, ha diakonos, the minister. Ha doulos, the servant. Ha thanatos, the death. Ha theos, and that is, you could say the God, but actually, when it's speaking of God, it's just God. Ha hiesus, Jesus. Turn the page. Ha kosmos, the world. Ha kurias, Lord or the Lord. Ha lithos, the stone. Ha logos, the word. Ha namas, the law. Ha oikos, the house. Ha axlos, the crowd. Ha huias, the son. Ha Christas, the Christ. Neuter nouns of the second declension, of the second declension, neuter nouns, a few of them. Ta doran, the gift. Ta ep, the work. Ta uangelion, the gospel. Ta Hieron, the temple. Ta technon, the child. Feminine nouns of the second declension. He is the definite article. He re eremos, the wilderness. He hodas, that's long, a long breathing. He hodas, the way. All of these forms are very important. In the New Testament, you have to admit that we aren't being distracted by any garbage of the world. World here, it all has to do with the Scriptures. This is a great text, folks, that we have. Additional omega conjugated verbs: ginosko, I know. Ginos, it could be pronounced actually ginosko. Lambano, I take or I receive. Lego, I say. Fero, I bring. And some conjunctions. These are all extremely important to get down. If you get these down, you're going to be light years of where you were when you began. Allah, but. De, now. Kai, and also, or even, and kai, dot, 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 kai, it means both or and in a, sentence that has a number of phrases to it. All right. So, also, too, you could go to the nouns of the first declension, which are on pages 38, 39, and 40, and write those down. I'm not going into those tonight because I have a little translation. We'll go into those next time with a little more review and a little more translation. And I'd say that probably The next couple of times we're going to be doing the same thing we did tonight, and then probably three lessons from now, I'm going to start in lesson number 6 of adjectives, okay? Adjectives of the first and second declension session, or lesson number 6. But for the next two sessions after this one, I'm going to be concentrating again on lessons 1 through 5, because to the professor, it was very important, Professor Black, that we get these 5 lessons down cold. Down cold. And look at it like you're doing it with joy. That's an order. No, that's a joke. No, do it with joy. That's an order. No, that, you know. After a while, you should be doing it with joy because, you know, eventually you can open up the Byzantine text without any English, and you can make at least your way a little bit of it in it, and that should really bring joy to you. Thinking about where you started a year and a half ago, knowing nothing, if you look at it that way. Now, let's turn to page number 40. And we're going to translate some Koine Greek sentences. At least a couple. I've got 4 to go over. We'll see how far we get, because I'm going to be taking you through every little form and what page it comes from, so you know where to go and that I'm not making this up. All right. We went through sentences on page 40. We went through sentences 1 through 4 in the last session. So do at least 5, 6, maybe 7 and 8. But after we do 5 and 6, we'll see how far along we are. Maybe we'll just do 5 and 6, so you get the feel of it, and then we'll keep on going. We'll see what happens. Okay, look at sentence number 5. Okay. And knowing what you learned in the past, here we go. Lesson or sentence number 5 on page 40. Grafse. It's not grafe. It's grafse. Ha. Apostolos. Parabole. Parabole, actually. Actually, it's parabole. Pardon me. Parabole. Parabole. Toys, hoxlois, pardon me. Let's read that again. Grafse, ha apostolos, parabole. I always, I can slip up with the omicrons. They're omicrons, not omicrons. Parabole, or parabole, actually. Just give me a break. Parabole. Tois haxlois. All right, what does that mean? Well, in the translation, it means the apostle will write a parable for the crowds. That's what the translation of sentence number 5 is. The apostle will write a parable for the crowds. And you'll notice this, that in the Koine Greek, you'll notice that the apostle isn't first in the sentence. You'll notice that the apostle are formed second and 2 and 3. This reinforcing the fact that in the Koine Greek, it's not like the English, that word order isn't important. It's the ending of the forms. And the definite article types that allow you to translate. So let's look at this. The apostle, it's ha apostolos, ha apostolos, and we'll find that the is the nominative first person singular article, ha. That is omicron with a rough breathing over it is the nominative first person singular definite article, and that's found on page 37. If you turn there, Turn to page 37. And you'll notice the singular definite article under the masculine nominative. Ha. What does that direct you to? Anything that this ha emphasizes is a sentence because it's in the nominative case. Ha apostolos, the apostle. The apostle, apostolos, the ending on apostle there, is the nominative first person singular ending. That's be associated with the definite article. The definite article, ha, is the nominative first person article, and apostolos is the nominative first person ending of that noun. Notice on page 28. Page 28. That's where it's important to have a notebook. Maybe get these off the pages and write it. Notice on page 28, the singular masculine nominative ending there is omicron sigma, as. So, ha apostolos, the apostle, is in the nominative case, and it's the subject of the sentence. Okay, graphe, actually grafse, the first form in sentence number 5. Grafse, we'll notice that that's in the future tense. We'll notice that that's in the future tense. And it is in the third person singular future ending, according to pages 18 and 19. 18 and 19, going back to that. Go back to pages 18 and 19. This is what you should be doing. This will reinforce your learning. You'll notice on page 18 that the ending up in the gray box there, epsilon iota, it means he, she, or it. And you'll going back to our form, grafse, you'll notice that it has the ending epsilon iota, which actually reinforces the fact that the singular apostle, he wrote it. He writes. Okay, so all of these things reinforce each other. If you look on page 19, you'll notice a rule. You'll notice a rule that when there's a double consonant, where there's a P, a beta, a phi or a sigma, it turns into a psi. And that's what occurred in future form of graphe here, grafse. That's the psi there. Alright, I hope that you all can see that. I know that gets I'd have to admit that gets pretty complicated, but the only way that you're gonna learn it is to do it. Alright, so, we understand, though, at least, that the apostle is the subject of the sentence, and that he's doing the writing, and that he's doing the writing in the future. Alright? We can see that in grafse ha apostolos, the apostle will write. That's what that means. Grafse ha apostolos means the apostle will write. We understand that that's what it means, and we understand how to get there. And that's big. That's big. Okay, what will the apostle be writing in the future? Well, grafse ha apostolos parabale. Parabale. What's a parabale? Well, it's if we know our declensions and we know our nouns, we know that parabole is a noun of the first declension. It's not as popular as the second. It's a feminine noun of the first declension of the phoné type. This is seen on page 39. Turn to page 39. Okay? This is why it's important to write these down, get familiar with that. We'll notice on page 39, under the letter C there, that a little bit below half the page we have parabole, and we notice that hey parabole is a parable, and according to the rule, it's a feminine noun, a first declension noun of the phoné type. And if you look back on pages 35 and 36, you'll notice that it has the ending one second here. You'll notice it has a singular ending, parabolein, and you'll notice on page 5, under the feminine nouns of the phoné type, that it has the ending of eida nu, which is the accusative case. Parabolein, it's a singular accusative noun. What does that mean? That means that it is the direct object of the sentence. So we'll write whatever this direct object is, and it's a parable. It makes sense. All we got to do is learn it. Going back to page 40. Grafse, ha apostolos, parabolein. The apostle will write a parable. The apostle is the subject. It has a future verb, and the direct object, according to the accusative case, is a parable, a parabolein. Now, we'll notice the end of the sentence says, tois axlois. Tois axlois. Well, axlois, according to page 32, turn to page 32. This is a more popular noun of the second declension. It's a masculine noun of the sentence second declension. You'll notice that towards the top of page 32, axlos. It means the crowd. And we notice an article in front of it is tois. And if we look on page 32, oh wait, I'm sorry, not page 32. Look on page 28. Look on page 28. We notice that the ending of oxlois, the omicron iota sigma, is a plural ending for nouns of the second declension. You'll notice that on page 28. And you'll notice that it's in the dative. It's in the dative case. Notice that. In the second gray box on page 28, you'll notice that the omicron iota sigma is in the dative case. And what the dative case is it's, remembering on page 27, the dative case represents the indirect object. And so it's to something or for something. All right, that's what the dative case means. And if we turn to page 37, we notice that the definite article on page 37 is the plural dative form tois. Tois, axlois, then, axlois, is the plural dative of crowd, and it means to the crowd or for, actually the crowds, pardon me, the plural crowds, for the crowds or to the crowds. So let's go over the whole sentence on page 40 again. γράψει τα αποστάλας παραβάλλειν τοις αξλοις. The apostle will write a parable for the crowds. We know the correct translation, and we know how we got there. All right, that's very important. It's very important for us to not only translate it correctly, but know how we got there. And if you write all these pages down for all these forms, and you go over it like I have, at least you'll know how to correctly get there. And then to become familiar with it is your job. It's your job, the time that you spend with it. But in fact, we have been shown that it's correct, it's good, it's not willy-nilly, it's not made up, it's how the scriptures were written. We're going to do one more. Sentence number 6. Let's go. Agapein kai Sophian kai karan ekusin hoi huioi ton apostalon. What does this mean? Agapein kai Sophian kai karan ekusin actually, hoi huioi ton apostalon. The correct translation is this: the sons of the apostles have love and wisdom and joy. The sons of the apostles, and you could say, hey, it sounds like the genitive case, and okay, Barney, take care, man. The sons of the apostles, you can say, hey, of the apostles, that's a genitive case. Yeah, you're right. Have love and wisdom. You could say, hey, sounds like a conjunction in there. There's two, love and wisdom. You're right, there's a conjunction in there. Love and wisdom and joy. All right, so we're going to translate this, and then that'll be it for tonight. Okay. You'll notice that the sons are the subject, but their forms are towards the end of the sentence. Again, reinforcing the fact that in the Koine Greek, the subject doesn't have to be in correct word order as the English, or let's just say English word order. Okay, looking at the apostle. Looking at the sons. The sons, huioi. We notice that sons huioi is a masculine noun of the second declension, according to page 32. Turn there. And see, I'm going through this step-by-step proof to you that this all makes sense. Huioi. It's a noun of the second declension. Look at page 32. Notice, huios, son. We notice that huioi has a different ending on it. Omicron iota it has. And it's in the nominative plural. How do we know that? We turn to page 28. And according to second declension nouns, omicron iota there, in the plural masculine, is in the nominative case, huioi. And so then the definite article should back this up, right? And it does. You'll notice back on page 41, sentence 6, hoi huioi. Well, it looks like that definite article, hoi, accents huioi, and it does. Hoi, then, should be plural, and it should be in the nominative case. And in fact, it is. If you turn to page 37, you'll notice that hoi is, in fact, a masculine noun, and it's in the nominative case there, in the plural. And it all reinforces the fact that the sons is the subject of the sentence. It's plural and it's in the nominative case, and therefore it is the subject of the sentence. That does make sense. It is. That's what it is. All right. Of the apostles. Of the apostles, we know in the sentence, back on page 41, it's ton apostolon. Ton apostolon. We know that that apostolos is a masculine noun of the second declension. So it's a popular noun. And on page 28, turn back. Or no, on page 37. I'm sorry. Let's turn to page 32. Leave me alone. Page 32. Make it page 31. Leave me alone. Page 31. You'll notice that apostolos is a masculine noun of the second declension. And what is the purpose of this? Because it'll help if we understand the declension, it'll help us understand the endings that are on there. That's the whole point. It's a masculine noun, apostolos, of the second declension, but we notice that it has a particular ending. It has an omega nu on it. According to page 41, ton apostolon. What is that? Well, according to page 28, we notice that apostolon, that is omega nu, according to page 28, is a masculine noun in the plural, and it's in the genitive. All right, so we have apostles in the genitive. So automatically our minds say, hey, it's of the apostles. And so if it's in the genitive case, then the definite article, the tone, should agree with that, and sure enough it does. If we turn to page 37, we notice that in the genitive case of the masculine plural, it's tone, tau omega nu. So we notice that the sons of the tone apostolon, it's in the genitive. These sons are of the apostles. And so the next form on page 41 is they have ekousin, ekousin, ekousin. That means to have. And if we turn to page 12, if this is in the plural, then it must be they have, right? And of course, that's what follows. If we look on page 12, in the middle of the page, sure enough, ekousin is they have. So it makes sense. The sons of the apostles have something. Excellent. And what do they have? Well, they have agapein. What is agapein? Well, it sounds like something we know, agape, right? They have agapein. And agapein is a noun, and it's of the first declension. And it's a feminine noun of the first declension of the phoné type. If we look on page 39, it'll prove that. Agapein. Agape. We'll notice under C there, it says feminine nouns on page 39. Of the phoné type tells us what ending, how we should understand the ending then. And if we look at the ending, it's agapein, which has an eta nu. And if we turn to page 35, we'll notice that according to the phoné type, that in the accusative, under singular feminine nouns, under voice there in the accusative, the ending is ate anew. So that means that agapein is in the accusative. So that it must be the direct object of the sentence. The sons of the apostles, what do they have? They have agapein, they have love. Kai, and if you look on page 32, kai is a conjunction. Page 32, and it means and. So they have love and they have sophion. Sophion is a feminine noun of the first declension. And according to page 38, Sophia is a feminine noun of the hemera type. So, the hemera type. So if you look at page 35, you'll notice under hemera, or for day, that the accusative ending is alphanu. And that's what Sophion has on it, alpha nu. So it is the direct object that's in the accusative, just like agapein was in the accusative, so it's the direct object of the sentence. So the sons of the apostles have love and wisdom, kai again, and we know what that is, karan. What is karan? Karan is a feminine noun of the first declension, according to page 39. Karan. One second. Karan. I hope I didn't get this wrong. Just give me a second. I know that it's a... there it is. Kara. You'll know. It's a feminine noun. It's at the top of the page. Top of page 39. Kara. It means joy. And if you look over on page 38, it's a feminine noun of the hereme type. Or the hey... Meta type. And you'll notice that its ending is an alpha nu, karan. And if we turn to the hemera type nouns on page number 35 again, hemera type, accusative case is the alpha nu. So it's the direct object of the sentence. So again, going over sentence number 6. Agapein, kai, sophion, kai, karan, ekousin, hoi, huioi, ton, apostolon. The sons of the apostles have love and wisdom and joy. We reach the conclusion in person and we understand how we got there. Just keep on going over these things, become familiar with these things. If you have your notebooks, it's just going to help you. Believe me, you're going to be writing these forms out. You're going to be associating them with the English translation, and it'll all start becoming more familiar to you. You'll be able to notice nouns over verbs. You'll be noticing the definite articles. You'll be noticing different cases. So I thank you for your time. Went a little bit over, but I think it was important. And next time we're just going to do the same thing. I'll probably go over more sentences at the end of lesson number 5, and we'll review this again. And we're going to be spending at least 2 more times in this, possibly 3, and then moving on to adjectives, okay? But get lessons 1 through 5 down cold, all right? And, you know, don't worry. The Lord is watching every millisecond of your existence. But don't let that make you nervous. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for your blessings, even though in our weak flesh we don't understand how great and how much for us that you are. We know that your precious word, which you hold above your very name, states so, and so we believe it. And we might love you, live for you. We know we just have such short periods of time here. We pray for our infirmities, for our loved ones, for our problems in the flesh, for our infirmities in the flesh, for our supplications in the flesh, for all our desires, our heartfelt sorrows and pain, and we pray that we might leave them unto you, for you're stronger than we can ever imagine. You tell us to turn these things over to you, and we pray that we might not be fools as we walk this planet, because we have such short times here, and we pray that we might be buying out the times for you. In the name of Christ Jesus, hey, the creator of all things in our head, amen.